Okay, can we just, first of all, we have so many, man, just new person after new person this morning. God bless you for being here. Can we just welcome everybody in the house who's new today? We are glad you're here. We mean that. We honestly mean that. If you hadn't felt that, that's your fault. I'm just kidding. But we enjoy what we do. We love coming together as a church. It is a blessing. It is a blessing and a blast. Can we welcome our online church? Glad you guys are here. A lot of folks that are out today with, I heard somebody dreamed yesterday there was a chimney and came out with a flu this morning. Anyway, that's really bad, I know. But it's not as bad as dreaming you as a roofer and falling and coming down with the shingles. That's really bad. Oh, yeah, boo, I know. And Liz is not even here today. She's sick at home. She's not here today to roll her eyes at me. But she's rolling at home, aren't you, baby? I know you are. I know you are. Hey, if you are a guest with us today, or if you're very new with us and you have never completed a connection card, would you do that for me, please? They're right in front of you in the chair. In front, if you're on the back row, they're right behind. Well, no, actually, if you're on the front row, they're behind you. We never say that. Never say that. But we are so glad you're here. We want to connect with you. And I'm excited that today is first Sunday of the month. It is Impact Sunday, step one today. And so if you want to come and learn not just about who we are as a church so you can come do what we do, but come and take the three-step process to see what God is wanting to do in your life. We want you to come and just join us and just enjoy serving the Lord. I told somebody earlier that we're new here today, and I said we're just basically a misfit church. Misfits looking for Jesus, man. And so if you're a misfit, you fit. In fact, if you're alive, you're a misfit because you're messed up with sin and you're just all tore up and sometimes you don't know what to do with your life or whatever, but Jesus can come into your life and give you guidance. Thank you to Scott for preaching last week. Man, what a blessing. It was so good. I was over here. Brother Gilbert, his family, we become the amen corner, brother, right over here, all right? That's where it's going to happen. And now you got Rebecca over there behind you. It's over now, man. I'm just saying. We were amen and all day, and just it was such a great message. If you didn't get to hear it, it's online. You can go back and listen to that and do that. I appreciate him filling in for me last week. And what a week it was for him to do that, because the week prior to that for me, it was every day the enemy was after me. And it was such a blessing to be able just to release that part of my week and deal with the things that God was doing in my life. And so I pray he's doing that in your life. If you're here today, you're just kind of like disconnected, or you don't feel like you're connected to God in some way, or maybe you felt that before, it was there, and for some reason, whatever's happening in your life has kind of pulled you away from that a little bit. Man, just realize, and I'm going to say it today, it's never too late to be who you might have been. If you didn't start well, you can't go back and fix that. None of us can, but you can finish well. And I'll say this again today, because today's message is ending a series on family. It's called Generation to Generation, Family Future. And looking forward to what's going to happen for your children and your grandchildren. And even if you're like, oh, I don't have any of those yet or whatever, you go ahead and be planning that now. A couple of messages ago, I talked about children and parenting. And listen, it's just do it. Just do what God has called you to do in that. It's called legacy. God has placed within us this desire to just be something down the road. It's like this, what do you want to leave here? What do you want to leave behind when you're gone? In fact, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We can't see the beginning and the end. We see the beginning. We can't see the ending, but God knows it all. And he's here. He is there for us to know. He's planted within inside of you. If you've ever wondered why, you think, man, there's got to be more. There's just got to be more. There's got to be more to life than this. We weren't created to pay bills and make sure the bills got paid and to have a house and cars and stuff. We weren't created for that stuff. We were created to be God's kingdom in this world. And so as we understand that, when you feel that angst in your heart, realize that's okay because God put it there. He put it there for you. And so anyway, God, I think, placed within us a desire to leave something here to be remembered. He said from the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. And that wasn't just about having children. It was leaving a good name. It was leaving a good future. And I'm not just talking about financial stuff. That's okay too. But we all know, the financial stuff ebbs and flows and comes and goes, and it just is what it is. And so if we're all about that, then you're planning for the wrong kind of future for your children. Because without faith, it's going to be impossible for them to deal with that money in the right way anyway. And they're probably going to blow it anyway. It's going to be gone. I mean, you know, it's just, we don't put our trust in that stuff. We do put our trust in what God is giving us. So at Discovery this year, we're talking about being a church of the light. We want to pass the light of Jesus on generation to generation. We want to finish well. If you can't, if you didn't start well, and Max Lucado, in our study we're doing on Tuesday night, our small group, we're going through his book, What Happens Next, and he made the statement, I've heard this a lot, but he made the statement in there that he said, I've got more sand on the bottom of my hourglass than I do the top. And that's not true for everybody in this room, God willing, and you live a long time. We don't know, right? We don't know how much sand is there, to be honest. But if I live to be 70, I got 10 more years to go. And the scripture says 70 is the mark, except for reason of strength, 80. And this idea of putting all of our stock and everything here, we want to start well, but we want to finish with eternity in mind. And that is exactly what this whole message is really all about today. Generational leadership begins way before your children get here, and a worldly focus is right here and now. The world wants you to see everything's in front of you. If you'll just buy this product. One of my least favorite commercials on TV right now, I don't know if y'all see this or not, is the woman who's advertising antiperspirant for women. It's a nasty commercial. But she says on there, if you buy this, you're going to be the happiest person in the whole wide world. And we know we're not. And all these ridiculous advertisements that we see, if you drink this, if you watch this, if you buy this, if you purchase, we're a consumerism culture. And we tend to get that way with God. Just find the best church. You guys looking for a church, you haven't found the perfect one walking in here. You just found a bunch of people trying to find Jesus, and we would love for you to come and be a part of that with us. But it's like wherever you go, there's going to be people and problems and issues and things, and you can't stop that. You can't stop that, but you can face it better. How many of us would love to protect our children from any harm? All of us, right? Yeah, everybody would raise their hand if we were asking for that. And that idea is that we would love to protect them from any problems and issues that come. But those of us who are old enough to have had children and grandchildren, we know we can't do that. Issues are coming. It's how they're going to face those issues that's really going to matter. Now, when you came in earlier, you should have been given by our hospitality team. By the way, we love our hospitality team. We love you guys. By the way, how many of us in the church are on the hospitality team? All of us. That's right. So we have people specializing in that, but we want to all be the hospitality team. But when you came in, you should have been given a worship guide, and inside there's some notes. If you want to pull those out and fill in some blanks, you can. If you want to download our app, you can do that electronically. Go to our website, do that electronically as well. Email them to yourself. We're going to fill in some blanks today and learn some stuff from the Word about how we can accomplish this idea of passing on what God has given us to the next generation. I wanted to do this, and you know, I put those notes on the screen, and I forgot to write them down. I wish I could say I had this text memorized. I don't, but I want you guys to all stand with me, if you would. I know you're comfortable. If you can, if you have children, you need to sit down. That's fine. We're going to read the screen together. I just want to read this scripture. That's not it. There you go. Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we've heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation and about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Then they will not be like their ancestors, stubborn, rebellious, and unfaithful, refusing to give their hearts to God. You guys can be seated. I was mentioning to the worship team this morning, we don't do a lot of just straight up reading scripture together. And so I think we need to incorporate more of that into not just our personal life, but our worship time life to hear God's word. We're going to break that passage down for you, make a few points, and help us all learn how we can best take what we have to the next generation. The first thing I heard in that text as I was writing this, and point number one today, is to tell your story. Tell your story. So many times I have talked to people about Jesus and never mentioned a Bible verse. I'm not saying that that's all that important, but you can start mentioning Bible verses to an unbeliever and you might as well be reading a coloring book. But everybody would love to hear your story. Almost anybody you run into will tell you their story if you'll just ask, hey, tell me what's going on in your life. What's your story? Doctor's office or wherever, and you just look at them and say, hey, what's going on with you? I'm Keith. What's your story? And they just look at you like, and sometimes, you know, you have to watch it because people think you're weird. But I'm just weird. I don't mind being weird a little bit. But I just look at them and say, hey, I love learning people's story. We need to tell our story. Not just our story, but our story that's connected to God. In the scripture there, he said, I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. And if you read the Psalms, I just finished the Psalms again a couple weeks ago. And you read the Psalms, you hear this story over and over again. I was the God who brought you out of Egypt, who took you out of slavery and led you through the Red Sea. That was their story. That was their salvation story. The Israelites told it. They still tell it. And it'll be told until Jesus comes back because that story needs to be handed down. It was the main story of their rescue from Egyptian bondage. Why was that the theme of their lives? It was because God was the center of the reason for why they got out of Egypt. It wasn't about them. Now, they had faith at times, and times they didn't have faith. And oftentimes, God would just have to say to Moses, Moses, you need to move forward. I'm with you. Just move forward. They would go through the Red Sea. Some mighty, amazing, amazing things happened. And they told that story over and over again because it was only God that could take them through that. Let me ask you, what's your story? What is your spiritual journey? What is your story with Christ? What is your story? I'm not talking about just necessarily your church story, although that's got to be part of it in the new kingdom. But the idea is, where is Christ in your life? What is your legacy? What are you telling your children about Jesus that happened to you? That's passing on that moment, that time, that maybe the place where you accepted Christ or you were baptized or you all these different things that happened in our life. Those are stories for us to pass to our children and let them know that. Tell them about the time you messed up and Jesus saved you anyway. Tell them about the time that you didn't get it right. You messed, because here's the thing. If you portray to them that you are perfect and you've never done anything wrong, I promise you they're going to try to attain to that and they know they can't do that and it becomes frustrating. I'm telling you, transparency and that word vulnerability, man, has to happen in our homes. Fathers need to be telling our children. We don't have to tell them every detail of what happened in your life, but at least let them know you're not perfect. You're not. I know how I messed up. I don't want you to think that you've got to attain to what I do. You attain to what Christ wants you to do. And when you compare yourself to him, you're going to find out you are a mess. If you didn't believe it before, you start looking at Jesus, and I mean, he's a perfect, but never sinned ever and gave his life for all of us, and you compare your life to that and say, listen, tell your Jesus story. Tell it over and over and over again. So there's only one thing you're going to take to heaven with you, only one, and that's people. Your stuff is not going to matter. It's not. But you will take people with you. Number two, tell God's story. Don't just tell your story, tell God's story. Now, these are kind of mixed up a little bit because in telling your story, you're going to tell God's story. But what the text says here is, we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord and about his power and his mighty works, his mighty wonders. He is creator. Our kids need to know that. You be telling your children, he's the creator. When they go to school, public schools, and they learn about this world being billions and billions of years old and all the garbage that they're teaching your children about evolution and all these things that's not true, you need to be telling the creation story to your children that God said it and it happened and that's how we got here. You need to teach them the stupidity of believing that something came from nothing. It had to have a creator. You need to teach them these things. If you don't, all they're going to do, and here's the thing, if you put yourself in neutral and you let your children go and you don't pass on God's story and God's power and God's miracles and all those things, they're going to learn everything from the world's perspective and they're going to be lost. They're going to be lost. He is sustainer. He's not only creator, he's the sustainer. Scripture says by the words of Jesus, everything consists, and the word consist in that text literally means it's held together. It's the glue. Jesus, when all this is done and he says, that's enough, it'll stop. It'll stop. And then things are really going to get weird. You think about weird. But he's the sustainer. He holds everything together by the power of his word. We're 1/6 or what, I forget, this is just the smallest amount of too close to the sun and we'd all burn up. Smallest amount of too far away, we'd all freeze to death. God, this thing runs. It runs well because God put it there. Now, the storms and all those things, that's part of the curse, and everything that's messed up in our world is destroying things. That's a part of the curse that sin brought on the world, but God sustains it all together, and that's how it works. That's why we're about to run into, come on, some springtime weather. Come on, I'm ready for no tornadoes, but I want some warmth. Man, I'm tired of the cold. It's too cold for me, and it's getting worse the older I get. He's not only creator, sustainer, he's savior. He provided not only for our present salvation, but our future salvation through Christ. The very essence of evangelism, and for the evangelism is a Christianese word. It's the most beautiful word in Greek to me. It's euangelion. I love it. And it simply means good tidings or good news. And so when you are an evangelist for God, I'm not the evangelist. I'm looking at all these evangelists in this room right here. We all evangel. We all tell. And if you look at it as, I've got to be an evangelist, then you think you got to stand on the stage and you got to have a position and all these things. Stop it. It's not about position or stages or rooms or buildings or microphones or podiums or whatever it is. This is part of it. And I love telling the story from here. But evangelism is when you're standing in line somewhere and somebody in front of you, you know, and you feel the unction of the Holy Spirit telling you to pray for them, and you say, hey, can you mind if I pray? Don't weird people out, okay? But don't not pray for people. And just talk regular language. Don't go up to them and say, can I pray for you? Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you very much for this day. And you go into your English, you know, thou hast done whatever. We don't do that much anymore. I remember as a growing up, man, if you didn't pray in King James, you did it wrong. And I didn't even understand some of that stuff. Why am I praying this? I don't know what I'm talking about. But listen, share evangelism is telling people good news. I'd love to share with you what Jesus did for me. Do you know the Lord? That's a great way to ask someone. Do you know who Jesus is? And more people will say, no, I don't. Hey, by the way, this is not in the message or whatever. Just come in my heart. Don't discount people for what they look like or how they act or what they do. In fact, sometimes when you look at somebody and think, you know what they'll hear, that's probably Jesus putting somebody in front of you you need to talk to. Another message for another time. But tell the story. Tell the good news of Christ. And make it good news. Live it good news. You got to go to church. You get to go to church. You ain't got to read your Bible. You get to. Y'all don't got to do anything. Change your got to into get to. And push yourself toward the good things of life. And I'm telling you, it becomes like a magnet to people. People ask you what's wrong with you. My friends from high school, man, when I turned my life around back in the day and quit doing all the things I was doing and all that stuff, I wasn't a real bad hellion. I just was a little bitty hellion, okay? I was really, you know, I wasn't really like, I didn't do lots of things that some of my friends were doing. Some of the crazy stuff, man. They took stuff and smoked stuff and all that. I don't know, man. But anyway, I only smoked a little stuff. But anyway, I didn't consider myself this bad, bad, bad hellion. But when I learned, man, you don't have to be a hellion to be lost. And I just remember turning my life back around for the Lord and going from Friday to Monday. I mean, it happened on a Sunday. I mean, I walked the aisle. You know, we used to walk the aisle and come down and sit with a preacher. And Brother Gilbert Kretzer, I don't know, Joni, if you remember. You remember Gilbert Kretzer? He used to preach at Center Hill. He did something that most preachers in that day didn't do in churches of Christ. He'd get down on his knee when he prayed with you like this. And he would sit in front of me and just had this southern brogue. He prayed over me. Man, it just wasn't long before that, after that, that I started preaching. But my whole thing is just, I've lost my train of thought. Man, I've got in my story so deep now, I don't even know where I'm going. But don't miss sharing good news with people. I just remember how excited I was. I was going to go to Bible college and just get in school and go out and straighten out the whole world. Man, it don't work that way, but I tried. I tried. Oh, I want to tell you, my friends on Monday went back to work. And just like, have you ever tried to stop cussing? Some of y'all are like, you ain't gonna answer the question. You too scared somebody, oh, you used to cuss? You look at your spouse, I didn't know you used to cuss. Did you do that? But that stuff, man, we say words, man. These words come out of your mouth. It's become another second language, you know? And you go back to work and you're not cussing anymore. I had guys literally, we got a guy who's an Egyptian dude, man, that worked with us. And Kenny Italian. And Kenny was like, I don't know what's wrong with you. He had no idea what happened. And I said, man, I just gave my life to Jesus over the weekend, or back to Jesus. I was already a believer. But I just remember the transformation that happened in my life. And people will look at you and go crazy. But when they learn that it's a really, 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 really good thing, they want to know, man. They want to know what happened. Because the truth is, they want to stop that stuff too. They just hadn't had anybody share it with them yet. And that's going to be you. That's going to happen. Number three, you need to teach God's instructions. Teach his instructions. For he, scripture says there in Psalm 78, for he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. And we're going to say that again a little bit later on. And I know I've already had you to do this, but I want to ask you again to stand with me. And today we're going to read together. You're going to read one section, and I'm going to read part of it. And when it says congregation on the board, I want you to read it. I want you to read it like you mean it, all right? I don't care if you don't do it in the same rhythm of the person next to you. Just read it. These are the Ten Commandments. These are not the Ten Amendments. These are not the Ten Suggestions. These are not things that God said, well, I think I'm going to arbitrarily just throw out some stuff and make their life miserable. If you notice, when we start reading them, the first four have to do with how your relationship is with God. And the last six are how your relationship is with other people. And when you put those things together, you get what Jesus said. He said the greatest command when he was asked is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And number two, to love your neighbor as yourself. And what I'm about to read, you're going to read with me, are the reasons why he said that on those two things hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that God ever said hinges on these 10 things. Everything that we do in Christianity that follows through, you think, well, that's the Old Testament. Come on, man. All of these are still true today. All of them are true. We obey them in different ways, but they're all true even today. Here we go. Now, let me get my notes out so I don't mess this up. You guys read where it says congregation, and I'll read the parts that doesn't. You ready? Here we go. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents on the children, and the entire family is affected, even the children into the third and fourth generation of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations to those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You have 6 days each week for ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, any foreigners that live among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. You guys may be seated. I think I messed up some of those slides. I apologize. The verse after the reading of the Ten Commandments in Exodus, it's not on your screen, but I just have to tell you what it says. It says, when the people heard the thunder and the loud blast of the ram's horn, and when they saw the flashes of lightning and the smoke billowing from the mountain, this is where Moses was getting these laws, they stood at a distance, trembling in fear. They couldn't get close to the mountain. The animals couldn't touch the mountain, they'd die. getting close to God at that time was a very scary, frightening thing. In fact, when you read the book of Revelation, every time you see in the book of Revelation thunders and lightnings and earthquakes and all those things, it represents God being active in the moment. Because when God acts, you're going to know it. You're going to sense that. What I love about the new covenant, when the new covenant came and Jesus came in the world, Scripture says he's going to put his laws in your heart and he's going to put himself in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's another lesson for another time, but I wanted to read that text because every time you see thunders and lightnings and earthquakes in the Bible, you hear God moving and doing something. And even Elijah, it was a quiet whisper for him. Don't stop reading those. I don't know what some of you are thinking. Well, we don't keep the Sabbath day holy like they do. Do we? Well, no, we don't, but it's our fault that we don't. When I was a kid, Saturday was a Sabbath. You didn't do anything on Saturday. People didn't work on Saturday. Monday through Friday, they worked. There was no work. If you worked on Saturday, there was a deal, something going on, something happening, and you didn't do it on Sunday. Sunday was sacred ground. I remember when, I've told you guys this story, I think, before, but when Zippy Mart, y'all remember Zippy Mart? Anybody remember Zippy Mart? In our town, it was called Zippy Mart. The first 24-hour, 365 store, I thought, what's anybody going to do at 3 o'clock in the morning to go buy something? It's crazy. So I don't want to make this about the Sabbath day or that one thing, but I want us to understand that somewhere you need to be putting Sabbath in your life. If you are not, you're disobeying that command. Now, I'll argue with you a little bit about it. It doesn't have to be on a Saturday, but you need to find a time when you can Shabbat. Because if you don't, I think one of the reasons we have opioid problems and drinking problems and stress problems and anxiety problems and depression problems and fear problems and all these things, these kind of problems, I'm going to preach just for a second. The reason we have it is because we don't stop long enough to hear God. We don't do it. I'm guilty of it. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm just saying that we better stop and listen to him. Scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. Scripture says, that word can actually be translated, meditate upon your bed. It means before you move, listen to God. I don't answer your text in the morning until I look at his text. I just don't. And sometimes it's very hard because I get a text in the middle of the night and I think, well, I need to give that some attention. And I think, you know what? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. They're not going to care if I read that now or later. But God's going to care whether I read his word or not. Let his text read to you first. Give him the first fruits of your life. Listen to his instruction. I guarantee you this, your children will follow suit with whatever you're doing. Whatever is important to you will be important to them. And I'm not sorry. I just preached a little bit right there. All right, is that all right, y'all? So just take that, man. It fires me up. And it fires me up mostly because I've messed it up so long. This year, 21 days of fasting and prayer, it started in January. I didn't know because I was coming up on treatments, and I didn't know how I was going to feel. I didn't know if I was going to get to participate as much this year. I didn't miss a day. And I'm not bragging on that. I'm bragging on my God because I could have not had an opportunity. This could look a lot worse than it is. Tomorrow's the fourth treatment and the last one, praise God, because the cancer's gone. I'm proclaiming it in Jesus' name. And I believe it. I don't care what the scans say. I don't care what anybody says. There's no way that a man can be suffering with cancer and feel like I do right now. That's all God. And so 21 days of fasting and prayer, man, it was so much fun. Really, the only day that bothers me is Thursday. For some reason, after the treatment, I have to crash and take a nap. But that's even holy, right? Sometimes the most holy thing you can do is stop and be still. Just said that. These are not important because Keith's preaching them and they're important because they come from God. In his power, in his word. And sometimes we just tend to go, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. Love him first. Put him first. He needs to be that way. I'll get to the last one in a minute. Set hope in the Lord. The foundation of all of this is this passage, this text in this passage. So each generation should set its hope anew. I love the word anew because that means if you haven't been doing it, you can start now. The anew part, you set your focus and your hope on him anew. Do it again and do it again because we're human. That song, Living God This Morning, whew, that's new to me. I learned it last week just to play today, and it's just going to become my All Hail King Jesus song. You know, it's just so focused and so focused on who he is. But what will happen with that song is we'll play it. At some point, I'll go, you know what? It doesn't mean as much as it did. And a new song will come. I love how God lets us renew our hope and renew our focus and all the things. Where is our confidence? What are you most confident in? Our world is tore all to pieces politically. We're tore all to pieces morally. We're tore in so many different ways in this world. And God is saying, if you will just come back to me, I'm standing right here and you're ignoring an omnipresent God. That means he's everywhere at the same time. He can give you the same attention at your house that he gives me at my house. Praise God for that. I'm glad I don't have to stand in line to talk to him and be a part of it. My confidence has to be him. My prayer every day is, Lord, get me out of the way. Here's a challenging prayer for you. Lord, do with me what you want to do. When I found out I had cancer, I was so close to pulling that sentence out of my prayer list. Because I thought, if this is what you want to do, I'm not in on this game anymore. I don't like this anymore. I don't want to play anymore. And every time I read that in my prayer, sometimes I'll say that one really soft because my next one is, Father, bless me and protect me and give your presence to me and let me have influence for you because of who you are. So, man, I'm telling you, it's a challenging prayer to do, but allow God to lead every aspect of your life. If you're a brand new baby Christian, let him lead you. If you let him lead you and listen to his word and what he says, I want you to understand you'll grow and grow and grow. And 10 years down the road, you'll be going, man, I didn't know anything back then. I didn't know anything. And I was 30 years down the road, 50 years down the road, you're still going to say, I don't know anything. I'm amazed every time I read the word how much he has so much more to say to me. There's a reason all of those instructions that we just read a moment ago and many more, they're not rules to have to obey so you can make God not mad at you anymore. That's the way I viewed Christianity growing up. I thought God was mad at me and the only way I could make him happy was to do it exactly like he said to do it and not mess up. You're talking about a frustrating way to live because you can't stop messing up. But he never stops forgiving. That's good news, y'all. Do we say it so much that we just go, oh, okay, thanks, Keith. I don't know. Maybe we do. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That song has within it the very picture of the next series we're going to do, Frame. I don't want anything else more substantial than my faith in Christ. When you guys are mourning my death, or I'm mourning yours, whichever comes first, I won't mourn it like everybody else. Because I hope you mourn my death in a celebration. Because my death is just going to be a step. I had a friend of mine tell me a couple weeks ago at a funeral, he said, you know, it's just a step around the corner. It's just a step around the corner into another place. I feel guilty sometimes praying for healing because there is going to be so much better than here. I just feel like I'm not done yet. I just don't want to be done. I love it here too. Paul said the same thing. Do I go here? Do I stay here? Do I go there? It's beautiful, man. If your hope is built there, then it's going to be. I want to give you three real quick practical things that you can do to help this. Real quick, we'll be done in just a sec. That's this. First thing you're going to have to do, in order to have these things, in order to tell your story, to tell God's story, to teach his instructions, in order to be able to set your hope only in the Lord, here's three things real quick that you can do. They're in your notes. Delete ungodly distractions. I use the word delete because we know that from computer world. And there's just so much you need to delete out of your life. You ain't got time to do everything. We want to. We live like we do have time to do everything, don't we? We say yes more than we should. And we put so many things in our life that we cannot focus on the things that we need to. Hebrews 12:1 says this. This is not in your notes. Just right out beside that point, Hebrews 12:1 says this. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that easily trips us up. And by the way, your sin that easily trips you up may not be mine. You got one, though. You struggle. If you don't, I need to have some conversation with you. Probably if you say you don't have one, there's your sin right there. That's it. Anyway, especially the sin that trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And the book of Hebrews, I'm reading through there now. Just about to finish it. Just read this text just a couple days ago. It's just a beautiful book about how when you're discouraged, just focus yourself on Christ. Put yourself there. He's the preeminent one. Get the distractions out of the way. I'll say this. If something is in front of you that's keeping your eyes off of Jesus, you need to get rid of it. You do. Or change it. You say, well, wait a minute. That's my spouse, and I'm supposed to be an example to them. I didn't say get rid of them. You change them. That's message one in this series, by the way, strong marriage. I'm serious, though. Y'all know how many times I hear it from people say, man, I could be so much more faithful if my husband or wife would be. It's hard. It's difficult when you're not focused on the same thing. And I'm telling you, do what God's bring them along so you can run. Take the distractions off. We were watching some TV show, and I'm not going to say what it is. I don't want to make anybody feel all tore up. And I just told Liz, I said, man, there's a lot of sexual innuendo in this show. Man, there's some language here I don't appreciate. I don't think we need to watch this anymore. And we start watching it. Take it out. Take it out. Replace it with something else. That's the next point. Replace with God. Take it out. You can't run with all the distractions. You can't. I got here this morning. I had some stuff to unload for the coffee bar and stuff like that. And I was pulling stuff. I had to go take three trips because I had to unload things as I come in so I could be able to walk. You got to unload some things. You got to replace them with God. That text in the next verse in 12:2 says this, and you put Hebrews 12:2 out beside it. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. So the idea is not just that he started it all, but he perfected it. That means he's perfect in it. You can't be perfect in and of yourself, but when God looks at you with Christ as your center of your life, he doesn't see you. He sees his son or his daughter. He loves you that much. Keep our eyes. One translation says to fix your eyes. You ever get fixated on something? You just can't, like, oh, my goodness, this is so amazing. We were watching a show last night. It was the set was in Wyoming. I want to go to Wyoming. I don't know if y'all have ever been, but on TV, I was like, oh, my goodness, I would love to see that in person. It's beautiful. You just want to fix it. And that's what we'll see. He's so beautiful and amazing and wonderful and awesome and all these things. You got to fixate your life on it. I still struggle with language sometimes, and I actually let a word slip the other day, and I was like, God, why do I do that? Why did that happen? Lord, I'm sorry. And you just back up and fixate on yourself on Jesus. And I said, Lord, I don't want to say that word again today. Please help me. That's just simple. You think that's so simple, but it just is what it is. Lord, my son's acting a fool today, and I don't know why. I can't do anything with him, but you can. Just simplify everything. You can call me and I'll pray for you, or you can pray for yourself or however, but he's the one to fixate on. Put your eyes on him. Know him. Listen to him. Talk to him and worship him. Not just here, but everywhere you go. Worship him. I pulled out my driveway this morning. It was early. I looked up and saw the skies, man, were just extra rich blue today. I don't know what that was, but I just said, Lord, that is awesome. You paint a good sky, Lord. Thank you. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm being goofy today. I don't know. Y'all looking at me like I'm kind of crazy, but that's all right, because I am. And then the last thing is to be with like-minded people. Be with like-minded people. You got to get the distractions out. You got to put the good stuff in. Put God in. Everything about God in. And then to help you do all of those things is you have to be with like-minded people. That's what the church is. Have I told you guys that you're messed up yet? If I hadn't, just in case, you're messed up just like me. And I love, love, love being a part of the family of God, not just you guys. I've got family of God all over the planet. Don't you just love going somewhere you'd never been before and you run into somebody that's a believer? You go, oh, you're one too. You're a goof mess up like me that knows Jesus. What an amazing thing. Can we talk? And all of a sudden, you got a brother or a sister in Christ right there. Here it is. Listen, if you're trying your best to do this on your own? You can't. You can't. God will open up avenues and ways for you to be with other people if you will do that. Same book, Hebrews chapter 10, 24. Put that by that point if you hadn't already put your notes up. Hebrews 10, 24 says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage. And by the way, it doesn't mean if you're sick or you can't be. I'm talking about people who neglect it. They just say, I don't know. I think I'm going to go today. I don't know. I don't think. I'm supposed to have a small group tonight, but, you know, I just don't feel like it. Or I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be with this person. I don't know. Liz went with Gina yesterday to walk. It was hilarious. She was gone a long time, and I thought, what in the world is going on? Where are they walking to? Did they try to go shopping? I don't know what's going on. Y'all, she come back in the house, and she said, Gina walked me 5 miles today. I think it was good for you too, sis, because you got to talk and just pour it out there. I don't have an idea what they talk about, but it's 5 miles worth. And what I love about that is not just the walking water, that's two Christian sisters who get together and are just walking, and they're talking. I see it on the Facebook, man. After the marriage conference, y'all started posting stuff about that on there. It just blessed my life. I hope it did you guys, because it just blessed my life. I was like, oh, my goodness, it was such a great night, a wonderful thing. But it touched people's heart, and they're moving because we came together to do that. And he says, don't give that up. Worship's not a got to, it's a get to. Getting together with your Christian brothers and sisters is not only vital or important, it's necessary. And I grew up being taught, you got to go to church or you're going to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. And this thing about church hurt has come up over and over. I got hurt by the church, so I don't need that kind of stuff. Listen, I don't care where you go, whether it's work or whatever, unless you're by yourself in a remote position, and even if you're in the room by yourself in a remote position, somebody's on that computer on the other end. You're going to be around people or you're going to be miserable, and you're going to be around people and you're still going to be miserable anyway because they're people. The best thing about what I get to do is you. And the worst thing I get to do about it is you. You can say the same for me. I'm just trying to keep it real, man, because here's the thing. You are who you hang out with. Pastor Chris says it this way, show me your friends, I will show you your future. Scripture says over and over, hang out with corruption, look like corruption. Walk through the hog pen, smell like a hog. I don't think Wyatt's here today, but the first time I ever met Wyatt, he shook hands with me. When he did, his hands were all greasy and oily and had dark stuff under his nails and all that stuff. He's a mechanic. He smelled like a car shop. That was his environment. I want to smell. You ever get around somebody that, I don't know, that does something that causes a scent to be on your life, maybe smoking or even alcohol or drinking somebody, and you walk away from it, and you're like, man, I'm such a holy moment. I got to talk to somebody, but you smell like they did, and somebody goes, I didn't know you were smoking now. What's up with that, man? I said, nah, I just smell like Jesus. What we do for the Lord is so messy sometimes, and sometimes what happens around us in that, it feels a little messy to us, but, man, it's so good. I look across this audience, and I see, oh, I'm going to look at anybody specifically. But the blessing of what I get to do and we get to do together as a church is watching people either walk through those doors or meet them at Walmart or they see us online or whatever they do, or maybe they're just at home this morning listening and they're sitting there with a rhema moment in their head. So what's a rhema moment? It's what every teacher wants their students to do when they're teaching. A while ago when I read the Ten Commandments and I told you the first four talk about God and the last six talk about how to treat each other, I saw some rhema moments across there. People, I never heard that before. I remember when I heard that, it was like, Emily's a teacher, she loves to teach. She does it, and when you're around people, you teach them and all of a sudden they get a moment, what a blessing, what a blessing. Hang with good people, be with good people. If you're a young person and your parents don't want you hanging out with the fools you've been hanging out with, there's a reason. And you could either listen now or pay the price later. Scripture says you stand with a company of fools, you go to jail. That's my translation. Come on, be with good people. Listen, O Israel. The Lord your God. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. That was the song of the Israelites. I wish I could say it in Hebrew. I've heard people say that verse in Hebrew. It's beautiful. Look it up online. You go to YouTube, say, do this in Hebrew, and it'll do it. It's crazy. But just to hear, listen, Israel. It's like God saying, hey, let me get your attention just a minute. I'm the Lord your God. It's not, I'm the Lord your God. No, it's I'm the Lord your God. And I want you to love me with everything you have, whatever that is. Your money, your time, your efforts, your energies, your talents, your gifts, whatever it is. And if you want your children to do that, Scripture says the next verse, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. And then he says, give your whole heart to it and then repeat it. And repeat it. Repeat it again and again to your children. Talk about it when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands, wear them on your forehead, write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates and on your mirrors. That's what my mama did growing up. She put a little Bible verse at the bottom of the mirror. I'd be brushing my teeth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Put it wherever you have to. There's no excuse. Download the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app, and listen to it everywhere you go. Just hit play. You're going to go, oh, I didn't know it said that. Rhema. God's good. And when your kids hear you doing that, sing songs about it. Repeat it. That was probably my kids' favorite thing is we ride around, we sing songs all the time. So no, it's kind of goofy, really, but some of them are so goofy, you never forget them out of your head. I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I believe in the Bible, Christ living in me. Sing Scripture. Sing it and repeat it. Are y'all bored yet? I don't want to go anywhere. I love being with you guys in worship. We got kids to rescue back there from these teachers. We need to go, so I'm going to ask you to stand. I want to ask you, if you've not done this in a long, long time, or maybe you've never done it before in your life, I'm going to ask you right now. Prayer team, come on. Come on, I need my prayer team now. It's the A team, y'all. Come on. These people, for all of you guests that are walking out into the aisles and in the back and the front and so on, this is our prayer team. They want to pray with you. They're ready. They're waiting. And all they're going to say is, how can I pray for you today? And you can say whatever you need to say and put it out there. We're going to worship. We're going to praise God. When we leave here today, we're going to go bless the world. Just take a moment. You can step out at any time you want to. I want to pray over you. I'm going to ask everybody to just, let's just bow and pray together. Or if you want to look up and pray together, that's fine too. Father God, everybody in this room needs you at some level because we all have no way of making it through this life without you. We honor you, Father. You are our God. We treat your name as holy, the only holy name there is. We make no idols. There's nothing in this world worth worshiping but you. We love you, Father. Help us to honor our parents and love people around us, not steal and kill and destroy. And that's the enemy's work. So, God, we pray against that. That in the lives in this room right now, people who are broken and afraid and maybe not even want to step out, but right where they are, Lord, I just want to pray a blessing over them. Pray, God, that you will come in, you will heal, you will give, you will bless. You'll take away the anxiety, take away the fear, take away the doubt, take away the dread, take away the hurt somebody put in their life, Lord. Just completely bring about forgiveness and hope and reconciliation. I pray for marriages in this room right now and listening online, Lord. I pray for reconciliation and love and to be fully focused in their marriage on you. I pray for children who are struggling and they're afraid. They don't know what to do. And kids suffering from all kinds of stuff. Lord, I pray for a healing and blessing. I pray for those in the room right now whose spouse or friend or whomever has been praying for them forever because they're waiting on them to take a step back to you, Lord. I pray they'll take a step today. They'll come to you. For every person, Lord, we pray a blessing. In Jesus' name, let's worship together.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all. Sing your name. Your name is the highest. Your
You inhabit our praises, Lord. You are riding on the wings of the praise that we give you, Lord, and you are pouring out a blessing in this moment. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We give you the glory that you deserve, Father. We don't even do it enough, but Father, it's so amazing to be in your presence. We give you the glory for that, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody say a good amen right there. He's so holy and awesome. Listen, thank you for being here today. We're so grateful for all of you. Hang out with us for a little bit. Let us get to know you. Sign up for Impact today.